The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
Books, beauty products, science, fashion, and glam talk. From Bollywood to Hollywood, it's Dr. Afshan Hashmi's radio show every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on W4WN Radio, the Women for Women Network. And here's your host, international speaker, educator, award-winning entrepreneur, and best-selling author, Dr. Afshan N. Hashmi.
Hello, listeners around the globe, live from the studios at W4WN Radio Network in Louisiana. This is Dr. Afshan Hashmi's radio show. I am your host, Dr. Afshan Hashmi. Friends, have you bought my first business book, The Modern Mughal Mentality, New Strategies to Succeed in India and the Global Marketplace? If you have bought my book and given me an honest review, thanks a lot. And if you haven't bought my book, then please go and buy this book and give me an honest review. And friends, my second book, The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection, deals with bioterrorism in a very unique story. And when this book came in 2019, there was no trace of coronavirus, but my story shows like how a virus spreads and it ruins the human population. So if you have bought my book, please give me an honest review and thanks a lot. And if you haven't bought my book, then please go and buy my book and give me an honest review. And my books are available wherever books are sold. So now, friends, I will read from my first book, The Modern Mughal Mentality, New Strategies to Succeed in India and the Global Marketplace. And here I will tell you a case study, which I did because this book is in the case study format and it was an Amazon bestseller and it was a hot number one new release book. So I will read this case study and here I go. The success of McDonald's in India can be attributed to its adaptation of the Indian menu or glocalization. India's main religion is Hinduism and about 82% of the population is Hindu. Cows are considered holy by Hindus. For Hindus, cows represent fertility and nurturing. The Indian population is roughly 12% Muslims. Muslims have a taboo regarding pork and pig skin products and do not eat pork products. The majority of Indians are vegetarian. McDonald's has developed a menu specially for India with vegetarian selections to suit Indian taste and preference. McDonald's does not offer any beef or pork items in India. The challenge was to change the form of the worldwide popular hamburger to make an entry into India. The population of a billion was undoubtedly a promising opportunity for McDonald's. Realizing that an alternative to beef and pork was necessary, McDonald's accepted the challenge and created the Mac Aloo Tikki burger, known as Mac Aloo Tikki, especially for the Indian vegetarian customers. Aloo Tikki is a potato patty with spices. McDonald's ensures that vegetarian products are 100% vegetarian. The company even developed vegan mayonnaise especially for Indian consumers, and their soft serve ice creams are 100% vegetarian. McDonald's makes great efforts to ensure that the vegetarian products are segregated from the non-vegetarian products from the moment they are stored at the supplies until they are served to the customers. Creating a popular vegetarian version of the famous hamburger was indeed a classic case of product adaptation used to gain a foothold in a new market. In addition to complying with dietary sensitivities of its target, market, McDonald's also addressed the price sensitivity of the Indian consumer market with its value meal. In order to expand their product line, McDonald's made a chicken and fish option available for the non-vegetarian. McDonald's understood India's cultural values and attitudes and embedded them into their business plan. Jugaad seems to be at his best when confronted with a problem that needs immediate quick improvisation. The problem that the cow is considered holy by Hindus and that pork cannot be eaten by Muslims made two of McDonald's primary ingredients off limits. Creating new culturally appealing alternatives and vegetarian items in India was a very good quick fix to the problem. This is a great example of Jugaad-inspired localization, where genius and innovative thinking fueled by religious sensitivity to Indian consumers led to a quick fix of the Indian menu and enabled McDonald's to attain their objectives of being successful in India. So this was a case study from my book, The Modern Mughal Mentality, New Strategies to Succeed in India and the Global Marketplace. And now, friends, I will go on a break. And after that, I have a very interesting author with me. So please stay in and I will bring in that author as my guest after the commercial break. So now I'm going on a break and will be back soon.
Would you love exposure for your business, product, or service to over 300 million potential listeners? Send an email to info@talkformmedia.com. And now let's hear from some of our sponsors.
Chapter 2, How Jugaad Leads to Multi-Sector Success Stories in India, including definitions of the Jugaad Management Principle Business Model of the book The Modern Mughal Mentality, New Strategies to Succeed in India and the Global Marketplace. Inspiration. True Jugaad is an inspiration on how to create products using technology that meet the price-value equation. According to a Harvard Business Review article featuring expert Prahlad and Mashelkar, most innovation programs are built on the assumptions of affluence and abundance. We see the rich and the young in both the developed and the developing countries demanding environmental friendly products and services. They also believe that affordability and sustainability are crucial to driving successful business today. New technologies and radical business models are important not only to penetrate mass markets in India but in the entire world. By reconfiguring all areas of the business structure, they will be successful.
Again. could have told you that. We came back home, got ready for bed. I said to myself, I've got one shot left. You're still mine and I won't stand in line behind nobody.
Monstrous infection is spreading worldwide. Oh my God, is this a simple infection or a deliberate attempt to ruin the human population? Or maybe it's bioterrorism. What is this global infection and who is spreading it? Help us find out. Go to Amazon and search for The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection. The human race needs your help to make this go viral. Go to Amazon.com and read The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection to find out what happens next. Go now. The world is depending on you.
The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection, Chapter 1, 1964 to 2018, and this is the sample track, and it is read by Dr. Rafshan Naheed Hashmi. In a sprawling bungalow in Potomac, Maryland, USA, lived Dr. Honey Singh, a board-certified internal medicine and family practice physician, along with his beautiful wife, Baby Singh. Baby Singh was a fashionista and was funding women's causes through her Honey Babe Foundation. She had a ladies' book club by the name of Baby's Glam and Glitzy Club, which had many glam and glitzy ladies who were professionals living in Washington, D.C., Potomac, Maryland, Virginia, and even Beverly Hills, California, as well as elites from all of America meeting at her place on the last Wednesday of every month discussing various aspects of charities they wanted her and Dr. Honey to fund. In this club, there was a wide spectrum of career women. There were doctors, lawyers, actresses, business owners, and models, to name a few. In these book club meetings, members would come prepared after reading a book of a famous woman author, and that author was even invited from any part of the world to give her presentation, followed by a Q&A in this prestigious and elite gathering.
And now, back to Dr. Afshan Hashmi's radio show.
Hello, listeners. As I said before going into the break, that today we have a very interesting author here, and his name is Linwood Jackson Jr. He's an author writing on inward and devotional growth and development. He believes on the power the Bible's words when sincerely exercised and studied. Through his books, speeches and discourses, he encourages to think and feel for self, that self-love may bloom into self-possession through the knowledge acquired from experience. This, he says, betters the personal and devotional life, not only for the person, but also for all around them. So let's all listeners, let's welcome Linwood Jackson Jr. So hello, Linwood Jackson Jr. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming to Dr. Afshan Hashmi's radio show. We welcome you here, and you will get exposure to 300 million listeners, and this show will be syndicated like worldwide. So can you please tell about your background, your educational background, and how did you become an author?
Sure. Educational background, I'm currently a graduate student in the program of critical and creative thinking, which has, it really doesn't have anything to do with the subject content that I write about, but in a sense, it plays a part. I got into being an author, you know, as a young child, 7 years old, I began to write poetry just because I realized that what I was feeling on the inside wasn't somehow being shown on the outside, whether at home or in school. So I kind of felt like I was alone even at that young age and trying to figure out that very weird feeling. So I turned to poetry and didn't really know I was writing poetry, but ended up expressing myself in a way that made sense to me. And that kind of, that was the my mind exercising to prepare myself to be a writer. You know, and so you fast forward a couple years and go through some things in life, and I ended up redirecting my passion for writing towards mental, inward, and devotional health. Ended up, you know, reading the Bible, the principles that were in it, the philosophies and the different religions that were, that seemed, you know, viable. And I turned, you know, I thought to look at them. They didn't really mess with what I was going through and didn't really help me. So having a background of, in the Bible, not truly a religious background, but still, you know, as everybody else is, some, you know, nominal in a sense, I decided to pick up those words and to dig into them and to really see what kind of essence was within them. And what I found was that the philosophy within the Bible is catered towards, you know, as you mentioned earlier, adaptation, you know, adapting to not what society says you should be or to what the opinion of the home says you should be, but adapting to the person within. And so that really sparked my motivation for writing and for sharing what I was writing, because if I was feeling this sort of way, then I know that there's a billion other people out there that are going through something that's making them depressed, that's making them feel like they're not worth living, they're not worth loving, they're not worth being loved, and they're not worth enjoying something that makes their life worthwhile. So that was really the main spark for me.
Oh, it's wonderful, because these days so many people are depressed in this COVID situation. So it's very good. And as I was going through like your books and all, you have written quite a number of books. So could you please tell about each of your books? How many books have you written at this young age? And where are you like a graduate student, in which university?
At a university in Massachusetts, I won't really give out the name, but I'm at a university in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, my program is critical and creative thinking, and it kind of plays into the role of what I'm doing as an author and as a public speaker. My first book, I've written several books so far. My first book, Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion, in a sense that came about from me just digging into the philosophy of the Bible and trying to find a diet, a mental diet, that I could also apply to my body. And what I learned was that, you know, we take the aspect of religion, and it's based on a community knowledge, and it's based on what's passed down from generations, and it's from what a philosopher of religion has written that becomes credible to an entire, you know, community of people. And so, you know, you have to follow that because that's just the trained way of thought. But, you know, the point within the Bible's philosophy that I found to be beneficial to myself is, and that I thought I ought to share, is that it's really not so much community knowledge, but what is within that needs to come out and shine. So honoring the inward faith, the inward mind that you have for whatever you have beyond this realm, or whatever you believe is beyond this realm or not beyond this realm, owning
so
what is within.
This book you are describing?
This is my first. Okay, could you repeat that?
Yeah, what is the name of the book you were describing just now?
This one?
So that,
Perfecting?
Yes.
Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion.
Okay, so it is available on Amazon and the Barnes & Noble everywhere, so that if listeners are listening, please go and buy this book and see how this young author is describing his views in it. So what is the second book you have written?
The next one, which is closely related to it, is Heaven's Genuine and Counterfeit Ministry. And within the Bible, there's also a story being told of there's two different cultures of religion that we're trained, you know, as human beings to honor. And the first one is by any sort of rites, communal type things, traditions. This is a deed that we're supposed to do to please who we believe is God. And then the second culture is within. Taking the experience that you learn from the words, or from what you believe are you know, words beyond human, and applying them inwardly, and receiving wisdom and knowledge by them, and then living your life by them, and continuing to grow. So this book, Heaven's Genuine and Counterfeit Ministry, it describes those two cultures, and with a lot of the Bible's philosophy in tune with it.
So, like, these books are self-published by you, or do you have a publisher?
Nope, I have a I have a publisher, yes. You can see my publisher attached to every single one of my books.
Oh, okay. Okay. This is fantastic, because at this young age, you are so highly achieved, you know. People should congratulate you and take your example that you are studying also as well as writing books. So what is your third book?
You know, it's need, you know, it's for me at this point in my life, I realize I need something that hasn't been given to me as a youth, and it's not being given to me from anyone else or from any sort of outlet within the people around me or within society. So it's basically need, and whoever is listening and whoever may relate to the same need that they have within themselves, you know, I implore you to don't take that need lightly. You know, put aside whatever you have to put aside and get to know who you are personally. Because that's really what's most important when it comes down to it. This, what we're doing here on this planet, it's more than what we can see, and it's more than what we can believe we feel. What really matters is how we are doing inwardly, and how the expression of what is within is coming out and benefiting the people around us.
Yes, and that is very important message what you just gave, that it should benefit people around. And I really commend your greatness and all for, and your ideas for writing such nice Bible-related writing, you know. So you are doing a great community service. So, so do you have other books also, or this is it, like?
The third one that I published, it's entitled A Fallen Record, The Christian Transgression. And this book is a bit of a history book. So this book is showing how the Christian religion actually does not promote the philosophy within the Bible, but how the Christian religion promotes its own agenda. And it's going back and it's showing you the history of how this began. What were the things that led up to it, and how did it strengthen in its history? That's the third book.
I see. So do you have other books also?
The fourth one is a book on the very last book of the Bible. It's called The Battle of Hosts. You know, there's a lot of doctrines and philosophies of in the Christian religion about a Jesus coming back and all of this, but this isn't really what the Bible teaches. So this book actually talks about the language and the context in the Bible, going back, you know, Hebrew and Greek, just analyzing the language to show what the sentences and the context actually mean are in reference to. And with that, you know, the next book, A Prayer for Change, is actually an audiobook. It's called A Prayer for Change. Yeah, it's called A Prayer for Change. It's an audiobook. And this book is actually putting into a bit of a practical sense how we can get our minds to think better so that we can heal better within. And I found it, you know, to be a bit of a break from the writing, but at the same time, a way for a listener who really doesn't like to read, because, you know, many people don't like to read. Many people would rather listen to an audio or to music to connect with something.
Yes.
So, you know, I thought that.
So you narrate your book yourself, because you have a beautiful voice, because that's what, you know. So did you hire somebody to narrate your books?
I did. I narrated this one. I did narrate this one.
Okay.
And
so,
in the response was really good.
So listeners, we will go in a commercial break, and then we will bring in again Linwood and ask him how did he get his publishers, and does he have a literary agent? Because many of you have that question, that how do people find publishers? So let's go on commercial break, and we will continue talking to Linwood after that. So please stick on and listen to this young author.
Would you love exposure for your business, product, or service to over 300 million potential listeners? Send an email to info@talkformmedia.com. And now let's hear from some of our sponsors.
The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection, Chapter 1, 1964 to 2018. And this is the sample track, and it is read by Dr. Rafshan Naheed Hashmi. In a sprawling bungalow in Potomac, Maryland, USA, lived Dr. Honey Singh, a board-certified internal medicine and family practice physician, along with his beautiful wife, Baby Singh. Baby Singh was a fashionista and was funding women's causes through her Honey Babe Foundation. She had a ladies' book club by the name of Baby's Glam and Glitzy Club, which had many glam and glitzy ladies who were professionals living in Washington, D.C., Potomac, Maryland, Virginia, and even Beverly Hills, California, as well as elites from all of America, meeting at her place on the last Wednesday of every month, discussing various aspects of charities they wanted her and Dr. Honey to fund. In this club, there was a wide spectrum of career women. There were doctors, lawyers, actresses, business owners, and models, to name a few. In these book club meetings, members would come prepared after reading a book of a famous woman author, and that author was even invited from any part of the world to give her presentation, followed by a Q&A in this prestigious and elite gathering.
Jolene, he talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. You could have your choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him even though you can.
Monstrous infection is spreading worldwide. Oh my God, is this a simple infection or a deliberate attempt to ruin the human population? Or maybe it's bioterrorism. What is this global infection and who is spreading it? Help us find out. Go to Amazon and search for The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection. The human race needs your help to make this go viral. Go to Amazon.com and read The Outbreak of a Monstrous Infection to find out what happens next. Go now. The world is depending on you.
And now, back to Dr. Afshan Hashmi's radio show.
As we were talking before the commercial break with the author, Linwood Jackson Jr., so I have a question which many people ask and many authors ask, that how did he manage to get a publisher? So Linwood, how did you manage to get a publisher? Let's see what Linwood has to say.
It's pretty interesting. I actually had to leave my first publisher. I originally in 2017, I was with a publishing company, and the management of my own self and of my own brand, I couldn't deal with it. And there was really no support, especially for the kind of content and material that I was putting out. I actually had to leave that publisher, sadly. And then I fielded inquiries. That's really what I did. I was my own literary agent, you could say.
Okay.
But I fielded my own inquiries, and that is how I stumbled upon the publisher that I have right now. Which, you know, in today's age, we can... Like, the playing field is very, very even with the aspect of social media and the kind of openness that we now have. So we can initiate our own sort of credibility now. It's just a little bit more grit work that we have to do.
But Linwood, it is so difficult to find publishers. I really commend you for finding a publisher. It's not that easy. Did you get it easily, or did you have to write a lot of queries before you got a publisher? Because that's the problem many authors have, that they give up, like rejection, and they give up. So what is your opinion regarding that?
My opinion is I've also gotten rejection letters, and you don't give up, and the moment that you do want to give up, that's when you really need to become your own motivational, you know, speaker, become your own inspiration, because that's sort of what I did. I didn't really give up. I got a lot of rejection letters from literary agents, and also a lot of rejection letters from publishing houses. And I got a lot of responses of, you know, get a literary agent first, which most authors do experience. So when it comes to that, you know, being an author is, especially at this point in time, I would say the pandemic has really been good because people are reading now. And depending on the kind of context, depending on the kind of context that you're putting out, there is a theme of loneliness that this pandemic has brought out in a lot of people. So
yes,
you, as an author, you can do really good so long as you do not give up just on that first, second, third, seventh, eighth rejection letter, because you're going to find people that respect and appreciate your brand and that want to push you as far as you are actually willing to go, because it doesn't really stop once you get to the publishing company. You know, like, for example, there's advances that they give. And so people think that, you know, you get that advance and you think that that's just the end of it. But that advance is like, it's weighing the worth of you, your brand, and your material. So if you don't produce what that advance equates to, then they're going to want that money back. So as an author, you still have to push, and you still have to, as even if you're not with any sort of anything, you still have to go and do the grit work. You have to grind hard, and you have to promote your own self still, even with the connections that your publisher may or may not have. So it's not perfect either way. Either way, you know, you still have to be more than an author. You have to really be first a human being, an inspiration to yourself, and the desire to inspire others, for that to be your fuel.
Yes, that's what it is. So how do you promote yourself and your books? What do you do? Because that is another question in everybody's mind, because just writing the books is not enough. Marketing is the thing, and it is so difficult to find, like, publicists. They charge you so much. So people who are on budget, they cannot afford a publicist. So what do you do? Does your publisher provide you a publicist, or you do your own promotion?
My publisher provides me the criteria that they have, and sometimes it's criteria that works with me, criteria I agree with, and criteria I don't agree with. So for me, it's whether it's, you know, taking the initiative on social media or looking to hire freelance, because there is a lot of great freelance marketing work out there that you can find that's very, very credible. And while you're, you know, paying that weekly or that monthly freelance fee, which will be expensive because these are experts. So you're connected with an expert, and you're building a team around you of experts. And so this is basically what I've done. I've gone through the experience of every writer, every writer getting hacked somehow, every writer getting shortchanged somehow, every writer getting taken advantage of. I've gone through it all. But in a sense, you have to go through it so that you can find team members that value you and that you can value. You know, that's really how I still go about it.
Yes, every day is a new challenge for an author, because I'm an author. I know, like, in this pandemic, although my books were bestsellers, but they were not selling very good past several months. So I had to do the whole SEO strategy again
and again.
Yes. So I know. So now I've become an expert of sort in that. Although I don't have any computer background or anything, but I've kind of become an expert, and I provide those services also of Amazon optimization and your. Because what I feel like, if you are not on the first three pages of Google, you won't get a business, because I do writing services also. So what is your your website and what is your Facebook page and all, how you are known and how people can contact you, because that's very important.
You can. My website is my name. It's linwoodjacksonjr.com. L-I-N, linwoodjacksonjr.com. Instagram, same thing. You could type in Linwood Jackson Jr. at Instagram, and I'll pop right up.
Okay. Yes, Facebook by your name, right?
Facebook, you can type in like 2LJAK, 2LJAK, or you could just type in Linwood Jackson Jr. and I'll pop right up also.
Okay. And what about if people want to contact you, your email?
My email, if you go to my website, all the way at the bottom is a list of Facebook, Instagram, even a button to click for email. My email is also my name. My email is linwoodjackson@hotmail.com. Please email me anything.
Okay. Because you are getting like promoted to 300 million people. So you never know who is listening and who is buying and who is doing what. Have you ever thought of making, because since these days, coronavirus has, I'm just giving you some ideas that these days coronavirus, because of coronavirus, I mean, you're writing about Bible and all that, you could make like contact Netflix and all those places for a web series or something like that, because that would be great if your books are turned into that. So try that, because with my second book I am doing that, because everybody wants to know like about bioterrorism and all, so I have submitted it to a couple of places, so you can do that also, because people are so depressed these days that that publishers, or you can ask your publisher, because they are the ones who should promote you that way also. So it's just an idea. I mean, I'm so amazed that at this young age, and all those young people who have like when the university is closed, although they are doing online thing, but instead of wasting their time, they can write books and also you are like an inspiration to all of them. That's what I feel about after like being in conversation with you, that you have done. So tell your website once again and how to contact you so that people can contact you, and if you have anything else to say, because we have 5 more minutes.
Sure. I definitely appreciate your words, because as I'm going through the experience, I really can't see anything that I'm doing. You know, in my mind, I have a vision, and unless that vision is reached, it's like nothing's happening. Why? So
yes,
at times I just have to, like, you know, you know, sometimes I just have to, like, you know, calm down a bit, and people like you bring me back down to reality to settle myself down. And but the vision is always there, and the vision is just got it. I need it. Got to get there. And that's you know what I would. I guess the last thing I would say to your audience is, I'll just bring it back to what you open up with is, you know, adaptation, you know, adapting to circumstances and situations to better know you in a very intimate and personal way, because this time of the season of life that we're living in, it's really not that normal, and it's not that normal, and it can be positive, a positive way to get more accustomed to you in a very intimate way so that you can be a blessing, not just to yourself, but the people around you. And and for my website, my website, again, it's linwoodjacksonjr.com. And my email, linwoodjackson@hotmail.com. And both of those, it's L-I-N, linwoodjacksonjr.com.
Okay, so do you have anything else to say before we close?
Not at all. The last thing I would say is exercise empathy. Whoever's listening right now, exercise empathy. Make your empathy the leading factor in every single decision that you make. And by doing so, stop, think, question what's going on. How did I get here? Where do I intend to go with what I want to say next? And look at the people who you're about to engage with and understand they're just as human as you. They are just not knowing that they are, you know, inconsistent as you are. So, you know, grow every day inwardly through that sort of experience.
So thanks a lot, Linwood, for coming in my show. And it was a wonderful conversation. And listeners, you have heard about this young author, how inspiring he is, that he's not wasting his time. He's going full time to school, as well as he has written so several books. And at from the age of 7, he's started writing. So I really commend him for his motivation and for motivating my listeners. And this will be syndicated worldwide, and you will get a link once it is there. So you will get a link on iHeartRadio. I will send you that link. So then you can share it wherever you like. So thanks a lot, Linwood. And listeners, now this is Dr. Afshan Hashmi signing off from this episode of my radio show. And see you next week at Wednesday at 6 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. And cheers. And if we have little bit of time, then my radio engineer, Rebel, she's great. And she's wonderful. So she will play some songs. So bye-bye. And see you next week.
been listening to Dr. Afshan Hashmi's radio show on W4WN Radio, the Women for Women Network. Tune in live right here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Would you love exposure for your business, product, or service to over 300 million potential listeners? Send an email at info@talk4media.com. And remember, if you missed any part of this show or want to hear it again, find our featured show on iHeartRadio, where all past episodes are available on demand 24/7. See you next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.